All right, and we are live, I believe. What is up, everybody? Welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. I'm just going to get everything set up, and we'll be ready to go. Hope everyone's day is going well. As we are back into swinging things with baseball, Hold on a moment. I'm gonna check something. Okay. Hope everyone's week is going well. If you are a New York person, or I guess anywhere where the earthquake hit on Friday, hope you're doing well. Nothing bad happened with you with it. Because, yes, there was a hurricane that hit parts of the East Coast on Friday. I think it was Boston, Philly, New York, New Jersey. I didn't even feel it, to be honest, on Friday. And I just remember, like, seeing it pop up on chats, and I'm just like, wait, what? So, but yeah, I hope everyone's doing well if you were in those states that had the hurricane hit randomly on Friday morning. And, well, if you're not in one of those states and this is the first time you're hearing about this, well, now you know. Yeah, we've got a lot this episode. We've got MLB stuff, NFL stuff, call it March Madness, live play-by-play as Cubs game is currently going on as we speak, and there are a whole bunch of games going on at the current moment. And also, I was at a sports event this week that I'm going to talk about. I don't have an intro-outro song at the moment because how I usually play it has been, I guess, taken off YouTube or something. So, at the moment, no intro-outro song. We'll see if that changes or not. So, let's get right into things. What's up, everybody? Welcome to this week's episode, to episode 120 of Benny in the Booth podcast. Thank you so much for all the support to this point. I very much appreciate it. I almost forgot to hit record for audio. Start again. What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 120 of Benny in the Booth podcast. Thank you for all the support to this point. Very much do appreciate it. Got MLB weekly recap. We've got NFL news. We've got March Madness updates with Final Four recap and the setting up tomorrow's night's championship game. We've got Immaculate Grid today that I have not done yet. I've peeked at. I debated on doing batter up, but literally when I saw the batting stance motion, I immediately knew it was, and I wasn't just going to do it just to, like, quickly answer it. Today was like it was Juan Soto, and it was so clear it was Juan Soto. I didn't even have to second guess it. And then I was actually at a sports event, and I'm gonna start off with this. So, if you're watching on YouTube, you will notice I've got a hat I have not worn ever before. That says Ball Knower on it, part of John Boy Media. And before people ask, no, I'm not an official member of John Boy Media, but that does have to do with the sports event I was at. John Boy Media hosted a John Boy Media Sports Trivia Night event at Downtown Social, a sports bar in New York City on 2nd Avenue. And I have to say, I mean, the event also is great, but it's actually a pretty solid sports bar place in New York City. And if you're looking for a cool sports bar to check out now, I don't think any of the food is kosher, so if you're a Jew and you're looking for a sports bar with kosher food, not a place to go. But if you're just looking for a place to chill and watch sports, for a sports bar, I'd recommend it. It's something like 2nd Avenue in New York City. But either way, they had an event, really cool event. I got involved with a whole bunch of the trivia stuff. I actually won this with the whole, like, trivia. They had, like, they started off with, like, each team was its own table, and you had, like, 10 questions to try to get every single one answered correctly, which Fittingly, I actually, between me and a couple of other people, we got all 10 correct, and that's how I got this hat. It's not just because, like, represent John Boy, which I'd love to be a part of them one day, but also is kind of fitting for my podcast, so shout out to them for that. But what was funny was the last question was a draft question, which, like, I do not pay much attention at all to MLB draft. But, like, I was able to, like, think about it enough with the people that were around me that we got it correct. And it was, who has had the most first overall picks in the MLB draft since the 2000s? Which, there were a couple teams running through, like, mine and the other people around me's heads. Someone said Houston, but the problem is, even with the amount of first round picks they had in, like, the 2010s between Correa, Pell, Aikens and something like that. The problem is that they had such a good stretch between 15, you could say 16 technically, and 17 and on, that like that's so many times to not have the first overall pick. So I knew it was not going to be Houston, and plus 05, of course. And they even had some other stretches in 2000 where they didn't make where they made the playoffs but didn't make it far. 04 is an example. Pittsburgh was something that we debated because they only made the playoffs like three times and otherwise were pretty bad. Kansas City was another option because really outside of 14 and 15, they were really bad. We ended up going with Pittsburgh and the answer ended up being Pittsburgh. I forgot a lot of the other questions, but there were some good ones here and there. But yeah, that was a fun event. Oh, another one was who is the team Marcus Semien made his major league debut for? Which most people might think Oakland, because that's the first team that pops up in your mind when you think Marcus Semien in the beginning of his career. But that is actually incorrect, and you can actually find clips of this on YouTube. He started off his career with Chicago White Sox, and there are so, like, very few, but there are some clips of him as a White Sox on YouTube. You can probably find on YouTube very easily. There was also another prize I tried to get for, like, some of my family, because my family are Yankee fans, and they were giving away a signed Aaron Boone picture of his infamous home run in the ALCS. But I should have recognized it was the Yankees question. The question basically was which of the three players had won three MVPs? It was between Ted Williams, Yogi Berra, and Frank Thomas. I knew Frank only won two because he's MLB The Show. And I had also looked at that once. I was stuck between Ted Williams and Yogi Berra. I should have realized it was the Yankee question for a Yankee gift, and that would be Berra. But my mind said Ted Williams, and it was incorrect. But it is what it is. I also got involved in Immaculate Grid, which is like one of their, which is a game that like they do weekly on their YouTube channel, one of their YouTube channels. I'm very good at, and I took on like who's the best in their company, who's actually from Jew. Shout out to Max Manis, who I also met at the event, and I have pictures from the event that I'm going to show in like a moment. And I lost 2-1, but even to get one on him for how much I see of how good he is at this game, that was a huge plus for me. The first one, I didn't realize until after he said who it was Mark Teixeira. I should have realized it quicker. That's on me. Second one was where I beat him to Melky Cabrera. And the third one, I realized when he, and it was, you have to hit the buzzer once you know and beat the other person to hit the buzzer. The moment he hit the buzzer was when I knew who it was. And I was basically just banging on maybe he would get this wrong. But the moment he said World Series game two starter, I knew, yep, I've lost. Because he, for context, AJ, and the person ended up being AJ Burnett, who was part of the 2009 Yankees, who started game two of the World Series, part of leading the Yankees to their 27th and last World Series title up to date. But yeah, that was a fun event. I got to meet a whole bunch of content creators that I know of, whether mostly or completely through John Boy or even from past adventures. This was one of the first ones I got to meet. He's also someone who I know from his own personal channel, Jolly Olive. Shout out to all the content creators I met, and also shout out to John Boy for the great event. It was really phenomenal. It was worth the $20. It was worth going through the rain because it was a wacky rain day that day. but it was absolutely worth it, and they made it worth it. Shout out to them for this great event. This is me and Jolly Olive from the event. This is Max Manis. This is, for context, not just someone part of John Boy, but someone I know through MLB The Show content creator, who was, I'm pretty sure, one of, if not the first ever MLB The Show content creator I found when I started watching MLB The Show content creators on YouTube, Shelfie, which shout out to him that I got to meet him, which that getting to meet him at this event, because I wasn't sure, I was like kind of hoping he had recently joined John Boy, but he also doesn't live in, I might add that part, but I was kind of hoping, and it worked out big time in that, like, me and my Dave. This is me with him. Also, shout out to his wife, who seems very nice. This is, like, two people part of a blitzball team who's also part of John Boy Mia, Jack and Zoe. Trying to get this, like, get good in the frame. Another person from their warehouse, but also part of their content big recently, Dalton. And they were all, like, very nice to me. And then this is someone actually not even baseball mostly, more of just football, part of Talking Giants podcast, Justin Pennick. All really nice to me, and it was a great event. Shout out to John Boy. Shout out to the content creators I got to meet. It was well done, and who knows, maybe if I'm lucky, I get to be a part of John Boy one day. I, like, even put myself out there at the event. I said, hey, I'm looking to be a part of it. And I even put it out to, like, mainly in charge of setting up all their videos with, like, the trivia and stuff. I said, hey, if you're looking for someone to come on down to the office and be a guest on one of these things, I'm willing to get myself down there and help out. But we'll see what happens. Shout out to John Boy and all the content creators I got to meet. They were really nice and awesome. It was a great event. And we'll see what happens. But anyways, let's get into this week's podcast. So, March Madness update. We had the Final Four last night. First game between Purdue and NC State. Purdue advances to the final, to the national championship game. Uh, 63-50. Congrats to them. I honestly did not expect Purdue to make a run. I kind of had them out in the first round. Kind of embarrassing with the fact that they're now in the championship. Not sure if they're going to win, but the fact that they kind of proved me wrong big time. Congrats to them. As sort of a fellow Big Ten fan. And then in UConn against Alabama, Alabama's Cinderella run ends at the hands of UConn, 86-72, and the defending champions are right back in the championship game roughly a year later, but this time taking on Purdue. And honestly, with how dominant UConn's been, and they're 6.5-point favorites per ESPN, I just don't think they're going to lose, and I think they're going to defend their title against Purdue. We'll find out what happens on Monday. But the game is on Monday, 9:20 p.m. Eastern on TBS. Figure it out based on your own time zone if you're not on Eastern time zone. But we'll see how that unfolds going in. Before we dive into MLB Weekly Recap, I want to talk about a tough subject to talk about with baseball, and that is starting pitcher injuries. It's gotten serious. I threw in three pitchers of headline big injuries recently. Yuri Perez, who's had also some injuries on and off, now out for the rest of the season with Tommy John surgery. Shane Bieber, ace of the Guardians, who's also had injury problems on and off, but is key to the Guardians' success, who literally has not seemed to have had problems when he's pitched this year, and has looked really good so far, out for the rest of the season with Tommy John surgery, and maybe even to 2025. And then the big blow that happened, I believe either Friday or last night, Spencer Strider, ace of the Braves, who's literally been lights out for them in the regular season, not so much necessarily in playoffs, out for a decent amount of time with UCL strains. MLB's got to figure out what's going on. I don't know if it's velocity. I don't know if it's certain pitches that people are throwing. I don't know if it's pitch clock, but MLB's got to figure it out, get it fixed, and stop these crazy amount of injuries in pitching. I mean, hitting, there's also been some, but it's more just pitching is crazy how many injuries there are. Gerrit Cole's also injured. John Means, I think, might be injured. There are so many pitchers, big pitchers for teams are injured. I mean, I can even throw Justin Steele. I mean, he might be back pretty soon, hopefully, like in May, but there are so many pitchers. They got to figure out what is going on, and they got to fix this issue ASAP. And I hate to, like, do rants, but this is deserved to be of a rant. Before we also get to MLB Weekly Recap, I am going to do Immaculate Grid because I almost forgot to do that for the podcast. So let's dive into this. So the top the row up across is Cincinnati Reds, having 300+ batting average in a season, not for career, and having a 30+ homer in a season for a team. And going down is Baltimore Orioles, Pittsburgh Pirates, and Washington Nationals. Washington Nationals and Cincinnati Reds, I believe Drew Storen pitched for both. That's going to be who I'm going with. And he did 0.8%. That is a really good find. Was part of 2012 and 14 Nationals. Closer did not end up well for them. Pirates and Reds. There's like a couple of answers that are running through my mind. Dave Parker comes to mind. Colin Moran comes to mind. I'm going to go Kevin Newman. A sneaky, I think, really rare answer, even though recent. 2%, I will very much take that. Sorry, I'm also watching Cubs-Dodgers. That's going on at the moment. And I'll dive into that once we get into today's games. Reds, Orioles, instant name that comes to mind is Eric Davis, but I could also use him in a different category or two here. Reds, Orioles. Who else could I use for Reds, Orioles? I don't think he did, but I'm curious to... I know he played for Reds, but I don't... not Baltimore. He would fit for Reds Pirates. Would he fit for Pirates 300 batting average or home runs? Was not even full season with Pittsburgh, so that doesn't really help me. Well, never mind. For context, I was thinking of Sean Casey. But he doesn't work out for Pirates and has not played for Nationals or Orioles. Who else would fit Orioles and Reds? Pretty sure Joe Morgan doesn't fit, right? Cueto doesn't. I believe Edinson doesn't. Edinson Volquez. Like, just thinking of names that played for at least one that maybe could play for another. By the way, I'm curious to check, actually. Now I'm thinking of Colin Moran. I wonder if he fits any of the spots of 300 average for a season or 30-plus homers for a season for Pittsburgh. I doubt it, but I'm willing to check it. Maybe he surprised me, and he absolutely does not. Well, interesting thought, but he does not. He's only had 10-plus homers max in this season. Orioles and Reds. Orioles and Reds. I don't believe that. I'm curious to check this. Does Eric Davis fit anything for Orioles days? Either 30-plus homers or 300 batting average. He fits batting average. Does not fit for home runs. So you know what? I am going to use him for Orioles 300 plus batting average, Eric Davis. Could use him for Orioles Reds, but I feel like he's going to be more common there. 0.3%, I'm happy with that. I feel like he'd be more common for Orioles Reds, but maybe I'm wrong. Might be thinking really crazy on this. I think I'm wrong. No. Good random find by me. Kevin Gausman might be a high answer without recent, but I'm willing to risk the biscuit here with this one. 2%, I will very much take that. Okay, 30-plus homers in a season for the Baltimore Orioles. Luke Powell, someone from the 60s and 70s for the Orioles. Did he maybe hit 30-plus for them? Well, this page is taking a long time to load. Meanwhile, I guess let me start seeing him for others. Also with the Nationals, of course, that includes Montreal Expos. Because it's all the same franchise. Kind of wish this would load a little bit quicker so I could get a clear answer. Oh, Lord. I could also risk the biscuit and just go with it. You know what? Fudge it. I'm risking the biscuit. He's not loading quick enough. Boog Powell, 30-plus homer for Orioles. He did 12%. I will take that. It's just taking way too long to load for me to even try to wait. Curious if anyone on 1975 Pirates maybe fits 300-plus batting average. Homers, I feel like I could. There's like at least one or two. But wondering more for batting average. And again, this page is taking a long time to load. Like 30-plus homers, I would imagine Stargell has. Probably McCutcheon has. Not sure if Clemente would have. I mean, I know he has MVPs, but I think he was more contact than anything. Nationals, obvious ones would be like Harper, Rendon. Zimmerman could have had one. I don't know what is going on. This page is taking a long time to load. There we go. There is someone from the 1975 Pirates, or two actually, Dave Parker and Bill Madlock. I feel like Parker, because he's more known for home runs, would be a low number on batting average. So I'm going to go Dave Parker for 300 average. I will take 2% very much. He also had 45 home runs, but honestly, I think that would have just been like an obvious answer. Let's see. Did Stargell ever hit 30-plus homers? Yeah. But I think that's going to be a real obvious answer. I'm curious. Roberto Clemente ever? I have my doubts, but I'm curious to check. He did not. The closest he got was to 29. Random answer I'm thinking of from their 90s teams that I'm wondering if he maybe hit 30-plus homers. No. I was thinking Andy Van Slyke for context. Jason Kendall ever have 30? Catcher from, like, 90s, 2000s. I think it was way too much more contact-based to be have homers, but maybe I'm incorrect. Maybe. And again, taking a long time to load. Now I have two different tabs. Oh, okay. He did not. Okay. Is there anyone from 91 Pirates that would have done it? I mean, like, Barry Bonds would be an obvious answer, but that's going to be way too obvious. And even Barry Bonds did not, anyways, but... Ooh, Bobby Bonilla. It's possible he would have? Yes. I'm going to use Bobby Bonilla. He's not someone I commonly use in grids. 8%. I will take that. Okay. Nationals, I'm curious. Did Ryan Zimmerman ever have a 30-plus homer season for Washington? He did. I'm going to use him for 30-plus homer season. Ryan Zimmerman. 9%. I will take that. 300-plus batting average per season. Random answer, and I doubt this is going to be correct, but I'm interested to run this. Well, maybe this works out. No, yeah. I was thinking Danny Espinosa, but that's way too much of a fluke. Jason Worth, maybe? Yes, actually. Interesting. Would not have expected Jason Worth to fit that. Former Philly as well. 36 is my total rarity score. That is a very good rarity score. 1% for Jason Worth. I will take that. So the top answers for today's grid. Orioles Reds is Frank Robinson to 40%. That makes sense. For 300-plus batting average in a season for Orioles is Cal Ripken Jr. That makes sense. For 30-plus homers in a season is Brady Anderson at 21%. That's fair. Probably imagine Murray if he ever had. Probably be up there as well. Pirates Reds top answer is Dave Parker. Good thing I did not use him for Pirates Reds. Pirates 300 average batting, 300 average for a season is Clemente at 28%. Bat for homers in the 30-plus homers in the season for Pirates is Roberto Clemente at 24%. Good thing I did not use him there. Or not Roberto Clemente, Willie Stargell. For Nationals Reds, top answer is Adam Dunn at 24%. I actually forgot about that. And good thing I didn't even use him. Nationals for 300-plus batting average would actually be Tim Raines at 13%. That is interesting, but that's fair. And top for home runs, of course, would be Bryce Harper at 32%. Makes sense. He did win an MVP for Washington. And that is today's Immaculate Grid. Before I actually get into MLB weekly recap, let's go over some NFL news. Carson Wentz has found a new home with the Kansas City Chiefs. Justin, probably backup though. Justin Hardy, a special team reserve, was a Cleveland native, signs with the Cleveland Browns. Clyde Edwards-Helaire re-signs with the Kansas City Chiefs for on a one-year deal. Derek Brown, defensive tackle, signs an extension with Carolina, 4 years, $96 million. And, of course, the big headline since last week's episode, Stephon Diggs has been traded from the Buffalo Bills to the Houston Texans, along with a 2024 sixth and a 2025 fifth to the Texans for a 2025 second-round pick. This is a steal in what Houston had to give up and got. For Diggs, can kind of understand it though for Buffalo with cryptic tweets and stuff, but we'll see how this plays out, whether it actually works out in Buffalo's favor or not. So now let's dive into MLB weekly recap. Cubs game, they're having some craziness with the infield dirt with the rain going on regularly right now. So let's starting off from Monday. Shota Minaga in his MLB debut got first win in his MLB career, going 6 innings with 5 2/3 being without giving up a single hit, giving up 2 hits in the end, 0 earned runs, 0 walks, and 9 strikeouts. His 5 2/3 of hitless innings bid is tied for the longest no-hit bid by a Cubs pitcher in MLB debut in at least 50 seasons, joining Amari Telemaco from May 16th to 1996. The Cubs didn't even score until late stages. They got first runs on a three-run Little League home run by Christopher Morel that Rockies just botched defensively, and the Cubs won the game 5-0. Nationals won 4-0. Pirates won 8-4 of the Nationals. Pittsburgh was 5-0 at the time. They are no longer undefeated. Spoiler. For the first time since 1983, which is a really long time. In general, Reds beat the Phillies 6-3. Spencer Steer hit a go-ahead grand slam home run in the 10th inning to lead the Reds to a victory. Angels beat the Marlins 7-4. Mike Trout had a 200 game in the win for the Angels. Rangers beat the Rays 9-3 in the same spot where on May 15, 2021, Adolis hit his first major league homer. El Bombe hit a solo home run in the 8th, which was his 100th career home run. Congrats to him for achieving that. Tigers beat the Mets 5-0 in a game I almost ended up going to, but it did not. Tigers are 4-0 for the first time since 2015, which was not a good season for them. First time in 20 years that an MLB game was scoreless through 9 innings and ended with a final margin of victory that is that large at 5 runs. Sean Nye in his Mets debut got no decision, went 6 innings, giving up 1 hit, 0 run runs, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts, a great start. Andy Abania's 2-out single in the 6th broke out the no-hit bid, which it's crazy that in that day there were 3 no-hit bids in one day. Crazy to say that. We'll get to the third one in a moment, which was an actual no-hitter. We'll get to that momentarily. Well, actually, right after, because the third one was an actual no-hitter, Ronel Blanco, who was only made the Major League opening day roster as the last spot. His 8th career start, having found out on the last day of spring training after having a second kid born and a daughter, the same day he found out he made the spring training roster, threw a complete game no-hitter. It's the first one for 2024, which he gave up 2 walks and 7 strikeouts. Astros now have 4 of the last 7 no-hitters in MLB. There hasn't been a no-hitter for the season since. Houston also now has 16 no-hitters in its history since 1962, which is the most in MLB in that stretch for an MLB team, which 1962 is when they started officially. Houston now has 3 straight seasons with no-hitters behind the 2012-2015 Giants, 1962-1965 Dodgers, and tied with 1973-1975 Angels, 1967-1969 Orioles, 1946-1948 Guardians, and 1960-1918 Red Sox. Red Sox beat the A's 9-0. Jaren Duran with 3 stolen bases in the game now had 9 stolen bases in the first 5 games of the season, which is most in that span of games in Red Sox history. Cardinals beat the Padres 6-2, but Jackson Merrill in this game had a solo homer in the 3rd, which was his first major league homer. Yankees beat the Diamondbacks 5-2. Anthony Volpe went 4-for-4 with 2 doubles, an RBI, and 2 runs, leading the Yankees to first 5-0 start since 1992, which is also the last time they finished the season with a record under .500 winning percentage. And the Dodgers hammered the Giants 8-3. James Paxton's debut got the win, going 5 innings, giving up 4 hits, 0 runs, 5 walks, and 5 strikeouts. And good for him because he's been up and down the last few years. So good to see him get that kind of good start for LA. Next day, April 2nd, Phillies beat the Reds 9-4. MV3/ Bryce Harper, 3 homer game after starting the season 0 for 11, which he's the first Philly to have a 3 homer game since Brad Miller against the Cubs on July 8th of 2021. He's the first Philly to do so with a grand slam homer since Jason Worth at Citizens Bank Park, which he did it on May 16th of 2008. He is the first in MLB history to do so after starting the season 0-for-11 hitting-wise. His second home run also marked his 1,000th career run scored. It's his 25th 3+ homer game in Phillies history, joins Jason Worth from 2008 and Dick Allen in 1968. Include grand slam homer. Cubs hammered the Rock 12-2. Garrett Cooper's 3-run homer in the 6th was his first as a Cub. Say Suzuki, two-run homer in the first, what had an exit velo of 115, which is Cubs' third highest homer hit under the Statcast era since 2015. Behind 117.1 from Kyle Schwarber on May 24th, 2018, and 116 from Wilson Contreras on May 31st, 2022. Blue Jays beat the Astros the day after getting no-hit, 2-1, after being no-hit the day before. David Schneider go-ahead slash game-winning two-run homer in the ninth, down 1-0, leads to Blue Jays to a W. Dodgers beat the Giants 5-4. Mookie Betts' game-tying solo home run in the second is his 1,500th career hit. Dodgers have scored 5-plus runs in each of the last first 8 games. It almost, if not pretty much, continued all the way into the Cubs series, except last night they did not, or close to it. As of the third, it was 9. I guess I could go back and count. Let's see. Third mark, 9. They did not play in the fourth. So it got to 10 in the end because they only scored 4 on Saturday, which is still crazy. But anyways, with that, each of the first 10 games of the season, for first time since joining the NL 1900, with joining the 2004 Tigers, 2004 Cardinals, 2002 Guardians, 10 games also, 1999 Guardians, 1998 Reds, Cardinals, 1962 Cardinals, 1936 Reds, 1932 Yankees at 13, and 1903 Pirates at 10. The Cubs are just now in a rain delay, but they're up 6-0 at the moment, by the way. Angels beat the Marlins 3-1. Nolan Chanwell, third inning walk, Mark's 34th consecutive game reaching base safely to start career. And since 1900, joining Alvin Dark in 1984 with 47, Truck Hanna in 1918 with 38, and Ito Slaughter in 1938 with 29. Streak ended the next day with an over. And Angels beat the White Sox 2-1. White Sox beat the Braves 3-2. Garrett Crochet, 8 strikeout performance makes him have the most Ks in a pitcher's first 2 career starts in White Sox history. He was formerly a bullpen arm and now turned a starter. Good for him to have that start his starting pitching career. That is it for May 2nd. May 3rd. Wonder if they might. I guess we'll see what happens with this Cub game. May 3rd, Twins beat the Brewers 7-3. But in this game, Jackson Trujillo had his first major league home run or solo home run in the 5th and makes him the youngest Venezuelan player at 28 years old, 23 days. To his first hit a homer in MLB history, passing Miggy, who hit a walk-off homer in his major league debut at 20 years old in 63 days. But the Twins had a 5-run seventh that helped them win this game over Milwaukee. The Yankees beat the Diamondbacks 6-5 in 11 innings. Sorry, they're just showing something that might indicate this game being over. Blaze Alexander in this game had a solo home run in the second, which is his first major league homer. Cel Marte's first inning doubles his 1,000th career hit. The Yankees won in the end 6-5. Padres beat the Cardinals 3-2. Kyle Gashioka became the first Padres catcher since 1974 when inning-specific data was available to throw out 2 runners attempting to steal in the top half of the first inning and then hitting a solo home run in the bottom half of the first inning. In the fourth inning, In 1 inning, their homer was also his first as a San Diego Padre. Nationals beat the Pirates 5-3. Joey Gallo's second inning solo homer was his first home run with the Nationals. The Cubs won 9-8 over the Rockies, but the Rockies came back from down 8-3, putting up 5 in the 8th to tie the game at 8-8, but still lost. As Seiya Suzuki hit into a fielder's choice, scoring Miles Mastroboni for the winning run in the 8th inning. Chris Bryant, RBI single in the 6th, snapped an 0-for-28 streak going back to 2023, which was the longest active streak in MLB. Astros beat the Blue Jays 8-0. Yordan Alvarez had a 2-homer game, 2 solos in the 3rd and 6th. Dodgers beat the Giants 5-4. Shohei Ohtani's solo homer in the 7th was his first as the Dodgers. He had more than one. Another one since, which was actually in the Cup Series. April 4th, Cardinals beat the Marlins 8-5. Ivan Herrera catcher for the Cardinals. Solo home run in the second is his first major league homer. 5-run seventh led the Cardinals to victory. Royals beat the White Sox 10-1. 8-run seventh led the Royals to victory. Mets 2-1. Javi Baez recorded an RBI single in second. Back at Citi Field for the first time since leaving the Mets for the Tigers in the 21-22 offseason. Mets came back from down 1-0 to finally win a game for the first time this season, 2-1. May 5th, April 5th, Cubs beat the Dodgers 9-7, 5-run second, and 3-run sixth were crucial in the Cubs' win over the Dodgers. Shohei in his Rookie League debut went 2-for-5 with a homer, a double, 2 RBIs, and 2 runs. Rockies beat the Rays 10-7. The Rays came back from down 6-2 in the ninth, scoring 5 in the ninth to take the lead, but Ryan McMahon walk-off Grand Slam homer led the Rockies to the victory in the Rockies' home opener. Mets beat the Reds 3-2. Edwin Diaz recorded his first Major League save, MLB save in a game since October 4th in 2022, and first general save since that save in the WBC versus the Dominican Republic, where he got injured in the celebration that cost him the 2023 season. Rangers beat the Astros 10-2. 5-run second led the Rangers over the Astros. Reds and Red Sox beat the Angels 8-6. Tyler O'Neill had a two-homer game, two solos in the second and the ninth. And then in yesterday, the A's beat the Tigers 4-0. Paul Blacker with 6 scoreless innings. Now it's 13 consecutive scoreless innings to start the season, which is 4th longest season-opening scoreless streak by a starting pitcher in Oakland A's history. Dodgers beat the Cubs 4-1. Yoshinobu Yamamoto got his first win in MLB, going 5 innings, giving up 3 hits, no earned runs, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts. Pirates beat the Orioles 5-4 and 11. Joey Bart had a 2-run homer in the second, which was his first as a Pirate, as he got released by the Giants either last week or this week. I forget when he got released. One of the last 2 weeks. The Royals beat the White Sox 3-0. Michael Walker got his first win as a Royal, going 7 innings, giving up 2 hits, no earned runs, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. The Braves beat the Diamondbacks 9-8, coming back from down 8-2-6. Diamondbacks had 6 in the first to help for the Braves to win. The Rays beat the Rockies 8-6. Rays came back from down 6-1 to win with 5 in the 8th inning, and the Giants beat the Padres beat the Giants 4-0 on the back of a Jerkson Profar Grand Slam homer, and Michael King going 7 innings, giving up 4 hits, no earned runs, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts, and getting the win, Padres win over the Giants. And of course, the big headline that's happened between episodes of the podcast, the Oakland A's will be playing next season, not in Oakland, are going to be playing next season in the home of the Sacramento Rivercats, which is the AAA team of the San Francisco Giants. And that also will mark that the Oakland A's are more than likely almost guaranteed to be moving to Vegas. Not a guarantee fully at this point, but I'd say almost a guarantee. They're going to be in Sacramento for at least 3, maybe more years, at least from 2025 to 2027 or 2028. Could be longer. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, they're going to be out of Oakland after this year. Kind of sad. And if you want to go to their final game in Oakland, it will be April 26th on a Thursday against the Texas Rangers. Standings update in MLB is as all for the notes of this week's MLB Weekly Recap. First place, starting with the AL and the AL East. Yankees in first place, 7-2-5, 6-3. Red Sox followed by the 5-3 Orioles, followed by the 4-5 Rays, followed by the 4-5 Blue Jays. It's not including today's results, by the way. Guardians are in first place, the Central at 7-2, followed by the 6-2 Tigers, followed by the 5-4 Royals, followed by the 3-4 Twins, followed by the 1-7 White Sox. And then the AL West, Rangers in first place, 6-2, followed by the 5-3 Angels, followed by the 4-5 Mariners, followed by the 2-7 Astros. 2-7 Astros and A's. And then the NL with the NL East Braves in first place, 5-2, followed by the 4-4 Phillies, followed by the 2-6 Mets and Nationals, followed by the 0-9 Marlins, who are the only team without a win in this season so far, not including today. Which, let's see. Well, actually, they're more than likely going to win today. They're up 7-1 right now. We'll get into scores in a moment. on today's games. And then the NL Central, Pirates in first place at 7-2, followed by the 5-2 Brewers, followed by the 5-3 Cubs, followed by the 5-3 Reds, followed by the 5-4 Cardinals. And then the NL West, Dodgers in first place at 8-3, followed by the 5-6 Padres, followed by the 4-5 Diamondbacks, followed by the 3-6 Giants, followed by the 2-7 Rockies. There are some games that are underway already. I'm going to go through those scores. I just got to fix something. So, as for the games that have already started, there are no games that are final at the current moment at 3:53 p.m. Orioles and Pirates are in the bottom of the ninth. Orioles are up 2-1, are two outs away from winning their game. Yadier Cano pitching for Baltimore as Bautista is still injured, Rowdy Tellez at the plate, but base is loaded. Phillies are losing the Nats 3-2 in the bottom of the eighth, nobody out. The Braves are winning over the Diamondbacks 3-2 in the bottom of the eighth. Tigers are losing the A's 6-1 through eight innings. Mets are up 3-1 over the Reds through seven, about to start the eighth, actually. The White Sox are winning over the Royals 3-2 top seven. Cardinals, Marlins are up over the Cardinals 8-1 top of the seventh. They're more than likely going to win their first game of the season. The Yankees are leading the Blue Jays 5-3 in the bottom of the sixth. Soto did not do anything in the home opener for the Yankees, but he did have RBI last night. Let's see if he's done anything today so far. No, wrong thing. No. Nope. It's been Rizzo, Stanton, and that's it for the Yankees so far. But still got some game left. Brewers are beating the Mariners badly, 10-2. The Cubs are in rain delay against the Dodgers, but are up 6-0 at the current moment. The Rays are beating the Rockies 3-0, middle of the third. Giants and Padres. Padres and Giants are about to start at 4:05. Matt Waldron against Logan Webb. Red Sox and Angels also about to start at 4:07 p.m. Tanner Houck against Chase Silseth. And then Sunday Night Baseball is Astros at Texans at 7:10 p.m. Ronel Blanco against Dane Dunning. Blanco on his first start since that no-hitter. And that's this week's episode of the podcast. Thank you so much for watching and listening. If you're on YouTube, leave a like, hit the subscribe button, leave a notification button so you're notified when I go live and or post a new video. If you're new on audio, follow the podcast, leave a review, hit the notification button so you're notified when I post on there. Thank you so much for watching and listening. I will see you next week's episode 121. Bye-bye.